We thank Brother Eddie, and he started the meeting with mercy. And then Brother Sable last night, and the forgiveness of God. And Brother Genesis 45. I'm sorry, Genesis 45. And Brother John alluded to His grace. You know, we are saved by grace. His mercies fail not. His compassion fails not. His grace, His mercies renew to us each and every day. He is a God that delights in mercy. He is a God that forgives our trespasses, amen, and covers our iniquity. Praise God. The forgiveness of God. And Dr. Sable brought it out so eloquently last night about how we acquire the forgiveness of God. It is by grace. It's not by any works that we have done. It's by His righteousness. And what I want to focus in is now that we have received the forgiveness of God, required the forgiveness of God, we are to appropriate that forgiveness. And that is the message that we're looking at this morning. Now, if you held your place in Genesis 45, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Let us stand, if you would, in the reverence of the reading of God's Word. If you're not able to stand, it's okay. You don't have to. It's not disrespectful. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them who stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I'm Joseph. Doeth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me here. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all of his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father. Say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. Thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast." Let's pray, Father. All that we have is thine.
Yes.
And all that we are is just simply by your grace. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you that we can stand here today in your presence, in your sanctuary with your saints to expound upon your scriptures.
Yes.
But all is vain unless your spirit quickens it and makes it alive unto us. Lord, expose us to ourselves. Lord, that we might see how we stand spiritually in your holiness and your righteousness. And oh Lord, that you may grant us space to repent.
Don't leave us to ourselves. We beseech you, show us your glory. Change us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As believers, we live in this world and our lives are not absent from disagreements and disputes and differences. And so we are constantly, whether these disputes and disagreements is with our siblings as we grow up, or with our spouses after we're married, are with the saints in whom we go to the house of God and worship God with, are with sinners, amen, in the parking lot. Amen. Our lives are not absent from disputes and difficulties and disagreements. There's times in our lives, as children of God, we are blindsided. Now, we expect to get blindsided from the enemy, and we do. There's times in our lives we get betrayed. And we're betrayed from friends and family. You don't get betrayed by the enemy. We're betrayed by those that are closest to us, that we trust. And that's why it hurts so much. So there's times we get blindsided and betrayed and we're brokenhearted. Now the Bible is truth, and as truth, the truth illuminates, truth exposes, truth reveals, truth makes known, truth reveals the good and the bad. Yes. And in the Bible we can see in the very first family, right, Cain killed his brother Abel. Right. A dispute right off the bat. We see Jacob lying to his father with no regard, no respect, no restraint. Just lies and deceives his father and steals his brother's birthright. Yeah. Sibling rivalry and conflict. Mm-hmm. We see Delilah deceiving Samson, her lover. Mm-hmm. We see Judas betraying our Lord. And you can go on and on all the way through the Bible, amen, the Word of God, that constantly disputes and differences, even among men of God. We see Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15 had sharp dissension, amen, contention, and departed asunder over John Mark. It split a fellowship. Brethren, our families, we see this issue of how we do not appropriate forgiveness. It's destroying families, it's destroying friendships, and it destroys fellowships. Because we do not understand how to appropriate the very forgiveness of God that we have received to others.
That's right.
And so, you'll find that the Apostle Paul, I mean, so much of his writings is about us and how we receive the forgiveness of God. And Brother Dr. Saver brought that out last night, amen. Romans, full of it.
Yes.
And he also writes in Ephesians, amen, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. After we receive the forgiveness of God, amen, and we're called by God, Brother Eddie brought out, amen. And brother, we're convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And by the Spirit of God and the calling of God, amen, we come to Him. We cry to Him. We call upon Him. We confess our sins to Him. He cleanses us with His blood. He clothes us in His righteousness. He fills us with the Holy Ghost of God and changes us and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, I see.
We're born by the Spirit of God into the family of God. Paul understood that, amen. And he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. He also wrote, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He wrote, the flesh and the Spirit, they're contrary one to another, amen. He understood that constant conflict about temptation. Yes. But he also understood this issue of forgiveness. Because in Colossians, we see him making reference to Mark. And Philemon, he says, also mark my co-laborer. Yeah. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, he's about to be executed and to go to be with the Lord. Amen. He said, bring John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. Here is a man that understands how he has acquired the forgiveness of God. It's by grace, amen, through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. So he understood that. So, he's understanding how he's acquired the forgiveness of God, and he must appropriate that forgiveness. Reciprocate it. Because in here it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Nay, he tells us in verse 31 what it is that grieves him. Now, I've got to get us on the porch before we go up in the house, okay? I'll get back to the text. Let all bitterness and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word malice means a hatred and that you desire ill will and personal, physical, bodily harm to someone. Have you ever gotten so mad at somebody, I wish they had dropped dead. Oh, I just wish they had died. I'm so mad I could kill them. You say, well, I really didn't mean that. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yes. And every idle word to be taken into account. That's exactly wrong. So he is telling the believer, now the Holy Ghost of God lives in us and abides in us and resides in us. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So therefore we are tempted, amen, by Satan. He fans the flame of the flesh when somebody blindsides us or betrays us, amen. You have a right to harbor that bitterness and that anger and that and evil speaking, amen, to go and degrade them and run them down and harbor malice. That grieves the Spirit of God. But be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Folks, He loved us when we was unlovely and ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has forgiven us for no other reason than the sinless sacrifice of His Son. He paid the sin debt, satisfied the holy demands of a holy, righteous God. Watch this. Why? And He brought it out last night, amen. Dr. Sable did, amen. Brother, to cover us. Mm-hmm. Yes. Genesis 3 and 21 made a covering for them, an atonement. Yeah, right. For reconciliation. What is that? To come near. Adam was running from God, hiding from God, didn't want nothing to do with God, but God wanted something to do with Adam, amen. God had to bring him near. The redemption. Reconciliation. Sanctification and justification. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Yes. That's salvation.
Yes.
And so, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. When we was undeserving. We've got to remember that, okay? That's pertinent to the message. Alright? The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to His riches in grace. Now listen to Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you was called. And that's what our brother was preaching on this morning, Brother John. If you claim to be a Christian, act like one.
Yeah. There you go.
If you ain't take the t-shirt off, remove the bumper sticker. Yeah. Matter of fact, years ago, my wife was going to put a Christian bumper sticker on our car, and I said, don't put that on there.
Right.
She said, why? Because I run red lights. I'm just being straight up, amen. I run red lights, and that ain't a good testimony, amen. So until I can live up to it, I don't put it on there, amen. For 6 years, when God called, put me into ministry, pastoring for, and I love hunting, folks, but I was an outlaw. And I said, Lord, I can't do that being a pastor. So for 6 years, I didn't hunt. I didn't hunt nothing. I said, Lord, till I can do it by the law, I don't think that temptation. Till I get spiritual enough, I ain't going. He just ain't got spiritual enough, brother. Amen. Amen. And so, anyway, verse 2, Ephesians 4. Now, this is how we ought to be. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that word forbearing means to put up with. Now, if you're saved and I'm saved, and we're children of God, yeah, by the grace of God, therefore we are spiritual siblings.
That's right.
My mama said, you don't pick your friends, you don't choose your friends.
That's right.
I mean, you do. You choose your friends, but you don't pick your family. That's right. What she said.
Right.
And when we would get in a fight as siblings and have a disagreement or dispute, she'd come out with us, and then she'd say, now hug your brother's neck. I say, whoop me again. She'd say, no, I'm going to tear you up. You hug your brother's neck, you tell him you love him. Now, we didn't know what she was doing, but she was teaching us humility, and that you're going to have to put up with each other because you're brother.
That's right.
And so there, I mean, brother, we got spiritual siblings. We just got to put up with it in love.
Yeah, and they put up with us. That's right.
Amen. And then he says, endeavoring in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that word endeavoring means to work at it. We got to work. See, these are the works God has before ordained we should walk in them. Folks, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is to hang on to bitterness and that malice and that evil speaking and that clamor, amen, and that grieves the Spirit of God. And if I'm harboring that in my heart, I am not going to be in the unity of the Spirit of God, and I will not be in the bond of peace. And so that's the foundation. The Bible says here in Isaiah and verse 43, it says, verse 25, Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blotteth out transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. God forgave us for his own sake, not for ours. As God hath forgiven you, so also do ye, he says in Colossians 3:13. So if God has forgiven us for Christ's sake and for His own sake, when I forgive others, it's not for their sake. It's for my sake. Why? Because if I harbor that malice and that bitterness and that envy, brother, that is grieving the Spirit of God, and I am not in the right fellowship with Him. So we have got to work at this, amen. Because the temptation of Satan is that you have a right. In the Proverbs 25:28, it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. In the biblical days, the cities had walls, and those walls were there to keep out the invasion, amen, of the enemy that's encroaching upon them to destroy them. And we, folks, if we cannot rule our own spirit, we're like cities with broken down walls, and the evil one invades, amen, and encroaches upon us, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
And we wonder why we're not in fellowship with God and have no bond of peace. And so, forgiveness. Now, unforgiveness is the hurt of my past that I'm holding on to in my present, that's hurting my fellowship with the Father. Unforgiveness is the pain of yesterday I'm dragging in today, and it's perverting my tomorrow. And we wonder why we have no peace with God and fellowship with God when we come to the house of God. Because the Spirit of God is grieved. Bondage. And so as we get to our text, we see all of this illustrated to us in the life of Joseph. Now I'm going to start with Joseph when he comes on the scene and just walk us through his life to get us up to our text. In chapter 37, Joseph is introduced to us at 17 years of age, and he is loved by his father. And it makes his brothers envious and jealous. And in verse 4, as soon as Joseph is introduced to us, and it says his brothers hated him. Mm-hmm. We're seeing sibling rivalry, that dysfunctional family, right off the bat. You get to verse 5, Joseph has a dream. He doesn't understand the dream. He says, God gave me a dream, and it makes them jealous. Mm-hmm. And it said they hated him more. You get to verse 8, now Joseph understands the dream. He shares the dream. He said, all your sheaves bowed down to my sheaves. And they said, we're the oldest, you're the younger. We will never bow down to you. And it said they hated him more because of the dream. And they would not speak to him peacefully. They're envious, they're jealous, and we see they're malicious. Because in verse 18, he's coming to bring them some food as they're watching the father's flock. And they said, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him in verse 18. Mm-hmm. Now what's malice? I wish he'd die. Yeah. We're so mad at somebody, so jealous and envious. Amen. I just wish they would die, so malicious.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's kill him. And they throw him in the pit. Reuben says, no, let's don't kill him. And they're sitting there eating their lunch, and you know the story. They sold him into slavery. Here he is, betrayed by his family. Broken hearted. I could picture him, amen, Brother Sammy, in that pit, climbing and clawing. Why are y'all doing this to me? Why do y'all hate me? What have I done? This is unjust. It's unmerited. It's uncalled for. Why do you hate me so much? And his cries fell on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye and good riddance. We got him out of our sight. And they took the coat of many colors, tore it up, put some goat blood on it, went and lied to their daddy. How hateful. Knowing how their daddy loved that boy and knew it was going to break his heart and he would spend months and years grieving over that boy. But they don't care. As long as we get our way. So that's how sin is. It only thinks of self. Ain't thinking of others. Man, how hateful and hellish. Horrible. To just outright lie to their daddy. Knowing the bondage it was going to put him under. And the burden. So we see Joseph. As the brother John preached on. He's hated by his family and he's hounded by a female. And he would not commit adultery with her. And notice, he knew it was sin before the Ten Commandments. And brother Dr. Saber brought it out last night. Listen, when every time God says, thou shalt not, God's drawing a line. He said, don't cross that line, you're going to hurt yourself. And Joseph knew it was sin before God put it in the Ten Commandments. How do you know that? He's in unity with the Spirit of God. That's a spiritual revelation. Spiritual truth. He is working in spite of the circumstances to keep himself in unity with the Spirit of God, whatever it takes. Because I need God. And so, he's holding to his faith. Holding his faith. We see him thrown in prison. And now, year after year passes. You get to chapter 39. And while he's there, it says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Three times in that chapter, it says the Lord was with him. And let me read you the last verse. Amen. Verse 23 of that chapter. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. There's the fruits of forgiveness, folks. The Lord is making him to prosper in that dark, down, depraved dungeon. Where there's so much despair and death and discouragement. He's working, endeavoring to keep himself in the... Now, there is no verse in that chapter we can put our finger on and say, right here, Joseph forgave. But I want to submit to us today, somewhere, brother, he forgave.
Yes, he did.
And why do we forgive those that break our hearts and blindside us and betray us? It's not for them. It's for us.
It's a gift to us.
He's sitting in that jail cell, in that prison, amen. He said, listen, his focus was on his relationship to the sovereign and not his revenge upon his siblings. I may never see them again. I'll never get out of this prison. When they throw you in prison for something like that, they put you there to die.
Yeah.
You'll never see daylight.
Right. He don't know.
But he's sitting there. He said, I may never see them again. I'm not. Hey, if I ever find them, I'll kill every one of them. I'm going to get them. That's the last thing I do. No. No. Father, help me. Let me maintain the right fellowship with you. So I can be in the right spirit with you, Lord. So somewhere, I submit to us, he forgives because in that prison, the baker and the butler have dreams. Nobody can interpret the dream. But he interprets the dream. And just like he said, 3 days later, the baker was put to death and the butler was reinstated to Pharaoh's side. And he's forgotten for 2 more years in prison. Now, folks, he wouldn't have been able to interpret the dream if he was grieving the Spirit of God. But because he's maintaining the unity of the Spirit, being tender-hearted and forgiving, Pharaoh has a dream. You know the story. Now Pharaoh's dream is 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows, and all of his wise men, they can't interpret the dream. And the butler said, there's a man in prison.
That's why.
And they bring him forth. And Joseph tells Pharaoh, he says, the Lord, in chapter 41, 16, he says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer. God's going to do this, not me. Verse 16, then verse 25, he says, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. And Joseph is able to interpret the dream because the dream is given by the Spirit of God and because he is maintaining the right fellowship with God, amen, working at it every day. The Lord help me in the daily prayer of Matthew 6. You know what? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's a daily prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from that desire and that temptation to hold on to bitterness and wrath and anger and malice on the very premises that I have a right. No, you don't have a right no more. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price.
That's right.
Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. That ain't going to happen when the Spirit of God's grieved.
That's right.
We become a stumbling block to reproach. Stand therefore in the liberty with Christ that's made you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he interprets the dream. There are 7 years of fatness and fullness and favor of the cattle's flesh. But there's coming 7 years of devastation and starvation and desolation. You better get ready. And Pharaoh, boy, look what Pharaoh says now. Verse 38. Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this in whom the Spirit of God is? That's a capital S and a capital G.
Whew.
Here's a lost man. Has now understanding the manifested presence, amen, of God in the man of God that stands before him. Because Joseph has worked at it, amen. He's endeavored to maintain that the spirit of peace and the bond of peace, the spirit of unity with his God. And now God can use him as a vessel to work in him and through him to his plan and his purpose for his pleasure. And the sovereign plan. Joseph don't know all the plans, just like we don't know all the plans. Folks, we just got to keep ourselves looking at Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Faithful is He that calleth, who also will do it, and keep our eye upon Him. And so, Pharaoh recognizes God. Look at verse 51 of that chapter 41. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God hath made me forget all my toil. And all my father's house. Did he forget his mother, his brothers and his daddy? No. The first thing he asked them, is daddy still alive? He hasn't forgot them. That word forget, best I can tell, is closely associated with the word forgive. And the word forgive means the removal and the taking away. And when we forget something, we purposely remove it and try to take it out of our minds and our thinking process. But notice it says, God hath made me forget. Romans says it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. Amen. As He is working to keep Himself in the unity of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is good. Amen. It's the goodness of God that's made Him and led Him to forget and put off that bitterness and that anger and that malice. In verse 52, in the name of the second He called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Folks, he's still in the land of the affliction. But he is experiencing the fruitful favors of forgiveness and peace and unity with the Spirit of God. Because peace is not determined by the external circumstances of our lives. They're determined by the internal unity with the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you." Amen. And brother, when we receive the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. And He comes and lives and dwells and abides in us.
Yes.
Now we're unity. His unity of the Spirit. So we see the brother's unjust hatred. But also we see the brother's unthinkable humility in chapter 42. They come in and they bow with their faces to the earth, just like the dream.
Right.
Just like the dream. Now all these years, Joseph has been living. He's been in physical prison, but spiritually he's been free.
Yeah.
Able to be used by God in spite of the circumstances. His brothers have been physically free, coming and going from their homes, but they've been in a spiritual prison.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
I'll read us that. It's in chapter 42:21. And they said one to another, "Verily, we're very guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul. When he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." Every night when they laid upon the bed, they could remember Joseph in that pit. "Why are y'all doing this to me? Why do y'all hate me? I've done nothing to deserve this. Get me out of this pit." And they fell on deaf ears. But I imagine every night they laid their head on the pillar that run through their ear. And I imagine every time they saw their daddy just gazing off into the distance, and they'd reach out, "Daddy, are you okay?" And he would turn around and have a tear in his eye. Just remember Joseph.
Yeah.
Well, it had to be like a knife in the heart.
Yeah.
To live in the bondage of that lies and deception and betrayal. 20 years has passed. And they're in bondage. Reuben answered, verse 22. "Spoke I not unto you, saying, 'Do not sin against the child'? You would not hear. Therefore, behold, the blood's required." Boy, they're playing the blame game now. "If you'd listen to me," no, "if you'd listen to me, I wanted to do this." No. We don't want to take responsibility. But folks, Joseph wept in verse 24. Chapter 43:30, Joseph wept. Chapter 45:2, Joseph wept. Now listen, what I'm talking about, folks, is not the absence of pain. When you have been betrayed and belittled and brokenhearted, it hurts. And it's tearful and it's painful when we forgive, because it's humbling. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt thee in due time. God's got a time. Now here's my last point. We get to our text and I'll quit. We've seen the brother's unjust hatred. We see the brother's unthinkable humility. But now here's the brother's unselfish heart. Notice what he said in verse 1. "Everybody get out of the room but my brother." Folks, it is unforgiveness when we want to drag innocent bystanders into the situation. Because what we're wanting them to choose sides. And we're wanting to air and expose our dirty laundry. And we want to play on sympathy. And we want them to be sympathetic with us and justify our sin and say, "Well, you have a right to be bitter. You have a right to lash out. You have a right to hold on to malice."
That's right.
That's unforgiveness. Matthew 18 says when a brother sins against you, you go to him privately, one-on-one. Amen. It's between me and you. He said, "All you Egyptians, get out of here. This ain't got nothing to do with y'all. This is between me and my brother."
That's good.
See, that's forgiveness.
Yes. That's good.
When you're not trying to drag innocent bystanders into the situation. Not only we see he is forgiven because of verse 4, he said, "Come near to me." Now you think about it. Now, you ain't had to be married very long till you heard this. "Get out of my sight. I'm sick of looking at you. I don't want to see you. You make me sick." Now, he didn't choke. Folks, that's unforgiveness. He said, "Come near." Adam, you're running from me. Come near, but you can't approach me like that. I got to cover you.
Yeah.
Reconciliation is coming near.
Mm-hmm.
That's through forgiveness.
Yeah.
Remember the prodigal come home?
Oh,
that father saw him coming.
Yeah.
Brother, that father run down that road and said, embraced him.
Yes.
Fell on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And kissed him.
Yeah.
Come near.
Amen.
That's forgiveness, amen. The Father's forgiveness. And so we see verse 5. We know it's forgiveness because he says, therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself. Look, he is removing any blame from them. See, we want others to know that what they've done, and we want them to live in the blame and the shame and the guilt of it,
yeah,
and hold them in our bondage.
Yeah.
He said, no.
No.
Be not angry with yourself that you sold me here. God did send me here.
Yes.
How does he know that? Because he is in the bond of peace and the spirit of liberty and unity,
yeah,
with God. He is understanding now, God's got a bigger plan for my life than I ever had.
Yes, yes.
God sees the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all unfolding.
Yeah.
The sovereign hand of God's at work. Look at verse 9. Here we see His forgiveness. He said, now go up to my Father and say unto Him how you've lied to Him. Go tell my Father how you were so jealous of me. Go tell the Father how you hated me. Go tell the Father how you lied to Him. Go tell the Father how you sold me into slavery. Go tell Daddy what you've done. No. Unforgiveness is trying to stick our nose in everybody else's business and straighten things out. No, you lied to the Father. What you told the Father, that's between you and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's y'all's business.
Yeah.
This is between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgiving you. What you and Daddy do, that's y'all's business.
Yeah.
But you just go tell Him, I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ain't got to tell Him all that other stuff you don't want to. That's your business what you tell Daddy. Just go tell Him I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have a tendency to spiritualize everything in the Bible, but just give me this, amen.
Mm.
And he says, God hath made me Lord,
yes,
of all of Egypt.
Right.
Now folks, Egypt
is
a picture of sin all,
yeah,
through the Bible.
Yeah.
And brother, when we hold on to that bitterness and that malice and that anger and that evil speaking, and that is sin. And sin is lording over us and keeping us in spiritual bondage.
Mm-hmm.
But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And He that's in me is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost of God. And brother, listen, the greater is He that's in me. And if I will walk in that Spirit, control the Spirit, amen, brother, He'll make me Lord of all of Egypt.
Yes.
Sin will not rule over me, but I can rule over sin. Deliver us,
yes, yes,
from evil. Verse 15. Moreover, He kissed all of them. He didn't say, well, I ain't kissing you because you really want to kill. No, He kissed all of them and wept upon them. And after that, His brethren talked with Him. Now, folks, how long has it been since we have talked to some of our spiritual siblings over some dispute or disagreement or difference that we had? When we truly analyze it and boil it down, it probably don't amount to a hill of beans. And the whole time, if we spiritually look at it in the light of God's Word, we're just harming ourselves, keeping ourselves in bondage.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That is exactly
what we're doing. Corrie ten Boom. Her family was captured for hiding the Jews. They went to concentration camp. Her father died. She never saw her father again. Her sister Betsy died while there. And she wrote how the guards would make fun of them and mock at them and strip them naked, you know, and do all kind of obscene things. And years, and by the grace of God, Corrie ten Boom was delivered. She began, you know, the story going around all of Europe preaching forgiveness. Forgiveness. And one night, one of the guards, she knew him. She didn't know he was in the congregation, and she taught on forgiveness. And he had gotten saved by the grace of God. And he prayed, "Lord, I wish I could cross paths with somebody that I've done wrong in the concentration camp so I could personally ask them for their forgiveness." And brother, there it was. When the meeting was over, he come and approached her, and she said, "When I saw his face," she immediately knew who he was. And he stuck his hand out and said, "God has saved me and forgiven me, and I'm asking you to forgive me." And she said, "My blood froze." That flesh began to swell up and flame up with hatred. Here's the very man that's caused all this bitterness and pain and agony in my life. And in that moment of temptation, she said, I prayed, just whispered a prayer, "Jesus, help me."
Yeah.
Stuck her hand there and said, "I forgive you, my brother." And she said, we sat there and wept. And she said, for the first time, I mean, the Spirit of God and the unity, the Spirit of peace and unity flooded my soul like I had never experienced before. Yeah. And it was like I was let from prison for the first time.
Mm.
Father, we have not because we ask not. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Help us to loose, Lord. Father, convict us of those that have harmed us and wronged us and persecuted us and had ill will toward us. Let us not be carnally minded, Lord. That's enmity against you. But Lord, let us be spiritual minded. As you, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, and you have told us, as Christ has forgiven us, that we would do also. Help us, Lord. This is hard. Help us, Lord. That we might be the testimony and the witness and the light that you've called us to be in this dark day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Ooh. My, my, my.